members. It's now 5:30. I'll declare our meeting open. I'd like to welcome everyone, including those in the public gallery. Welcome. I'd also like to commence our meeting by acknowledging the Gumbangya people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. Thank you. Could I also remind everyone that this meeting is being webcast and those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statements, and a recording of this meeting will be made publicly available on our website. I'd also like to remind you that recording the meeting on any other device is a breach of our code of meeting practice, and if you have a mobile phone with you, would you switch it to silent, please? Thank you. Okay, I'll call for apologies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have one apology from Councillor James Angel, who's taken ill this afternoon.
Thank you. And is Pastor Coetzee here? I was looking earlier and I couldn't see him. No. Well, it looks like. Disclosures of interest.
I have one disclosure of interest, Madam Mayor, from myself with regard to item 13.2 in the confidential, and it's regarding the General Manager's Performance Agreement.
Okay, thank you. Confirmation of the minutes, councillors, from the previous meeting of the 11th of April. Moved Councillor Janvey, seconded Councillor Ballengarry. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None. Those in favour? Against? Carried? There are no notices of motion, so we'll go straight to the public forum. And our first speaker tonight is Ms Carol Anderson. And Carol is speaking on the future of the Valla Beach Tennis Club Incorporated. Carol, would you like to come forward, please? And Mr. Henderson is there for moral support, I believe.
Oh, no, just my throat support.
Backup speaker.
He is very much so. Hi, good evening, Madam Mayor, all councillors and council staff. Am I speaking loudly enough? Mm-hmm. Yes. For those who do not know me, my name is Carol Anderson, and I'm secretary of the Valla Beach Tennis Club. I have been for some time. I'm also here tonight with my club president, Ron Henderson, and also some of our enthusiastic tennis club players up the back there. And just wanted to advise you of some of the history side of our club. An information sheet, I think, should be in front of you. It's been prepared for this presentation. And that sheet gives more detailed information about how our club and its facilities are going today. Included in that sheet, you will notice that the court lighting for our lower court is not in working order, and quite a bit of funding is required for that to be rectified. This club has been running now since the 1960s, and during that time we've had a great working relationship with council. Our tennis club held its annual general meeting on Wednesday the 6th of March, and following on from that meeting, we just wish to keep council abreast of the state and condition of this facility, which is council owned. We boast two synthetic grass courts in pretty good condition with LED lighting, a clubhouse and the surrounds. As we are an incorporated body and have been since July 1991, and as advised by Councillor Robert Hunt at the time, the club entered into a licence agreement with Council on the 1st of September 2019 with an annual fee for us to pay of $110, which includes GST. Council also holds a licence agreement direct with Barry Parsons from SFM, the local radio station. The club receives $600 annually plus a share of electricity from Barry. I'll now pass it on to Ron.
Although we do not have a large membership group, we believe that we do a great job of looking after this facility for our members and also the many holidayers throughout each year. In 2023, the club gained $3,597 in court hire. And with all the new homes being built here in Valley Beach, we are sure that our courts will be used to the maximum well into the future. For some time now, we have had an online website arrangement for court hire, whether casual or regular, and for joining our club. We also installed key lock boxes at the court for easy access for those court hirers. We are always looking into new ways of increasing our membership, and we are currently looking at changing our membership so that once paid, those members play for free. We have some 30 children being coached on a Tuesday afternoon over 3 hours by Amanda Goodby, an employee of Tony Pollock's Tennis Academy based in Coffs Harbour. This number does change due to the new seasons of soccer, netball and other sporting interests. Annually, our club also donates many of our second-hand tennis balls and rackets to Rotary for transportation to Fiji. In closing, we hope that this has given Mayor Tobin, councillors and council staff encouragement that our club is doing the best for Valley Beach, its members and its many visitors. We look forward to council's help in relation to any funding needed now and in the future, and wish our tennis club to be included in council's budgetary constraints. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, and before you leave the rostrum, do any councillors have any questions for either Mr. Henderson or Ms. Anderson? Thank you.
But I just wanted to also add, though, in relation to the information sheet that you have in front of you, in relation to the court lighting, we've been given a rough guesstimation of $6,000 to $8,000 that are necessary to get the electricity connected to the lower court, and we are prepared to try and work with council if Damien can get a firm quote and we can try and negotiate something through there, because then we will have the court lights on the lower court, especially during winter.
Because your address is a public forum, the council can't actually make a formal resolution. But I will ask the general manager a question. Given that we're now aware of this required $6,000 to $8,000, is there any possibility of including funding for that in the draft budget that is about to go on public exhibition?
Thank you for your question, Madam Mayor. Short answer is yes, but we'll have to deal with it in item 10.3, if a councillor wished to make an amendment to that resolution to include an amount for that. Mm-hmm. And as the Speaker has said, the costings need to be finalised, or a more firm quote, but certainly we can add something in there to indicate in the operational plan that council intends to do something.
Okay.
With the cooperation of the tennis club.
That sounds
okay.
Wonderful.
Well,
thank you.
When we get to that item, I'll consider moving that. I just wanted to check whether that was actually a possibility. I didn't want to, because we've already considered the budget and come up with our draft, but given the response of the general manager, so if that were successful and the draft after exhibition were adopted, that funding would be available in the 1st of July.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
You haven't got it yet. But
thanks for your time.
When we get to that item, you don't have to stay, but I'm sure you could probably check tomorrow and find out whether you were successful.
We're off to have a hit of tennis.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Our next speaker, we have two speakers. Miss Myra Davidson and Miss Noreen Russell, and they're here to address council regarding access to the B wall at Nambucca Heads. And councillors, earlier there were some photographs passed around, and I believe everyone's had a chance to have a look at.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and councillors and staff. My name is Myra Davison, and I'm concerned about the safety at the B wall. Okay.
Is it on?
Is that better? Okay. Council's V wall upgrades to pathways have removed the steps that were for years and years in place long before the upgrading. And now the upgrading has seen access removed to the beach for locals and tourists alike. Removing that access that was in place limits and excludes people with disabilities, wheelchair, the aged and families with small children, and young mothers carrying babies in their arms and using prams. People have to navigate climbing down sharp, uneven position rocks with no railing for support. It's a huge safety hazard, and inevitably someone is going to sustain serious injuries or worse, a fatality, especially mothers carrying young babies in their arms. The community have signed a significant petition, near on 500 signatures, that was given to Michael Greer from Nambucca Council on the 4th of April 2024, asking for proper access put back via a ramp and stairs, or the very least, a ramp to the beach. This petition was not signed and collected during school holidays or the Christmas period, which, as you know, is our most busy period in the valley, with families and tourists visiting Nambucca Heads, especially the V-wall. If it had been collected during this period, I'm sure the petition would have quadrupled or even more so. Local people who did sign, and there were many, told of growing up in Nambucca and swimming at this beach all their lives, as did their children and still do, and now grandchildren. As well, they want access to the beach and steps or a ramp put back in place for their safety so they can continue swimming there as they always have done in the past, without risking their lives climbing over dangerous rocks put in place by the council. A visit by the council during the swimming period or school holidays will remove all doubt. Watching people of all ages climbing over the rocks to access the beach is definitely putting lives in extreme danger, especially the elderly and babies. This is not a local request or a want, it's a need that needs to be addressed before I set a fatality. Thank you for hearing us and our concerns. Please give this your utmost attention. And I've also included at the back the Disability Act of 1992, which makes it unlawful to discriminate against a person in many areas of public life, including employment, education, getting or using services, renting or buying a house or unit, and accessing public places because of the disability. I spoke to a lot of people on the day when I was collecting the signatures, and there were a lot of people with disabilities were saying the same thing. They now don't have access to the beach that they used to go to. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from councillors?
Before the speaker goes, could I ask through you, Madam Mayor, through the General Manager, to the Manager of Development and Environment, I think we're all incredibly frustrated by this, and I think my recollection is this was a state government project. Have we had correspondence with the department that put those rocks in about the possible... I know we've had discussions at council about this a number of times. Have we had any correspondence with state government, or is it really something that we could do just off our own bat?
Can I speak? I was told that it was the council's responsibility. That particular area there is council's responsibility. There is Crown land on the other side, but it's not the side we're talking about.
You mean the little beach, the eastern side?
Mm.
That work was done by state government.
I was told the council was responsible for that paving and all that area there.
Right. Well, I just want to check.
Okay, look. I think there's another issue as well. I can recall many years ago when I was first elected to council, there was a proposal from the public and supported by council to upgrade that area, improve it. There's still erosion in that area. And at the time, there were issues raised by a number of the emergency services and, I believe, insurers, because that particular spot is considered deadly for swimming, and that it is not a good idea to encourage children, the elderly, or people to swim there. So that was like 20 years ago. So I'm going to, if I can get a seconder, call for a report on background of the removal of the steps, the work that's been done to date, and the staff recommendations in regard to, the minute takers probably.
Can I speak one more time? I collected signatures from people that have been swimming there for four generations. Never a problem. But if could we have a sign up on the beach saying, enter at your own risk?
They're all things that I think we need to find out.
And I think we really do feel your frustration. We all share it.
But if you look at a mother carrying a baby down those steps, it's more than frustration, it's fear.
Yeah, no, but I absolutely hear you, but the responsibility...
And so do I, and the point is that regardless of whether it's a safe spot to swim or not, people are obviously still
climbing down there.
So, yeah. But anyway, we need to get this... the council received a report on the background of the removal of the steps, the work that has been done to date, and the matters raised in the public forum presentation and petition. Mm-hmm. We'll get a broad response.
I think that might be Mr. Maloney.
Seconded Councillor Jones. Is there any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Thank you. And can I assume that when that report comes back to council, that our speaker will be notified?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm saying our speaker because I'm not sure. I've got two names here.
Yeah, she wasn't well. She couldn't come. It's Myra. Myra Davidson.
So will Miss Davidson be notified when that report is...
Okay. Was that a report from emergency services, was it, you're talking about?
No, this will be a formal report that will come back. Because you're addressing council in a public forum and there's no item on the agenda or information provided for councillors by our staff, what I've done is, or what the council has just done, is ask for the staff to bring forward a report to answer some of those questions that we're unsure of, who has done.
Okay.
Councillor Jones's question about work was done, who did it, does council have jurisdiction, do we need to involve Crown Lands, Fisheries, whoever, Public Works, that I think actually constructed the walls in the first place, so we may need to. All of those matters, as well as looking at your petition and what might be able to be done, whether it's... And I suspect it might also involve contacting our insurers and just double checking and perhaps speaking to Marine Rescue and Surf Life Saving. All of those things so that we have enough information to be able to. But the reason I asked about you being notified is if when that report comes back to a formal council meeting, it'll be available a week beforehand and you'll have the opportunity to address council again once it's a formal...
Okay, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Madam Mayor, if I could just say one more thing. It's incredibly complex, but what's happened there with the new rock work that was put in, it wasn't a council thing, it has actually calmed the wave pattern. And if you look, I go down there on a daily basis, if you look at the sand, it's building up and up and up. It's getting higher, which means that the whole beach is getting further out.
Yeah.
So especially on low tide, people are almost in the channel or the river.
That's what the concern was about. Certain tides, kids, if you get close enough there to that channel, it can be quite dangerous.
And it could be just a straight concrete wall, and the wave used to crash back out, if this makes sense. But when they've calmed the whole small V, as it's called, anyway. We're with that.
Well, as I said, it's back to nearly four generations of swim there.
Yeah, it's been absolutely. A resident. It's iconic. Yeah. It's iconic. No doubt about it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next speaker is Dr. Luby Simpson. And Ms. Simpson. Ms. Simpson is speaking on horticulture in the Nambucca Valley on behalf of Nambucca Environment Network.
Oh, it is one. I'm just checking. Good evening, Madam Mayor and councillors. I moved to the Nambucca Valley from Canberra 3 years ago with my partner. As newbies to the Nambucca Valley, in a short period of time, we have striven to be an active part of the diverse community of the Nambucca that we call home. We've also become fledgling small-scale primary producers, farming cattle and a horticultural arm focused on bush foods. Our biggest lesson to date has been the recognition of our role in supporting a sustainable approach to both farming and land custodianship. Sustainable economics. Practices that support long-term economic growth without negatively impacting social, environmental, and cultural aspects of the community. So how do these goals relate to us in the Nambucca Valley? A good start is looking at the vision of the Nambucca Valley Council. How does this vision align with the decisions being undertaken in regulating intensive horticultural practices that we have adopted from the Coffs Harbour region? One of the best ways to evaluate any decision is to create a list of pros and cons, in this case benefits versus costs, of intensive horticulture in the Nambucca Valley. Firstly, what are the benefits? What proportion of the output stays within our valley to benefit the local economy? Or are the benefits primarily seen elsewhere? I'll give you an example. In 2018, $1 million federal government grant was received by AusGroup. A statement was made for the creation of 100 jobs, but further documentation shows that actually only 14 jobs will be provided for ongoing employment, so I'm assuming the rest of the employment will be to seasonal workers. How does this benefit the Nambucca Valley? Do we have that data? And what are the real labour and housing costs? When asked at the last council meeting about compliance to the Blueberry Growers Association Code of Practice, the CEO of AusGroup stated that the Code of Practice was a voluntary one. So in a way, you could call it just guidelines. What are the costs? Health and well-being. The citizens of the Nambucca Valley have been through fire and flood, and now the impact of the uncontrolled intensive horticultural expansions across the Nambucca Valley threaten their health and well-being further. Our environment. The misalignment between several progressive government programs supporting wildlife corridor expansion and the shoring up of our fragile waterways in parallel to the deforestation for intensive horticulture is environmentally and fiscally inexcusable. What of the erosion and the pesticide runoff onto waterways, the soil, and the mismanagement of our finite water resources? Have we accounted for the remediation of contaminated land and water once the berries stop producing? And who pays for the repatriation? What are social and cultural challenges as landowners experience declining farm values, even challenges selling their farms? And the secondary status given to the value of economic and social activities across the valley other than intensive horticulture. I'll give some example: tourism, oyster farming, organic farming, so all those other activities in the valley, all for the creation of a formidable potential monoculture focused on intensive berry farming definitely not a sustainable economic approach to governance of the Nambucca Valley. Using the word sustainable does not make it so. We need to walk the talk. And what are the lessons we should have learnt from the North Coast region? Banana farming in the Coast region 1943 to 1994 has rendered land contaminated to such a state that it's unusable. The same farming group established Osborne's in 2001 due to the decline in the banana industry. Over the last 5 years, the impact of intensive horticulture, particularly blueberries, has segregated wildlife corridors with Hearns Lake and the Solitary Islands Marine Park threatened by high chemical and sediment flow. So what legacy will we choose to leave in the Nambucca Valley, homeland of the Ngambarrigi people? We have the opportunity to commit the Nambucca Valley to sustainable economic practice, achieving economic growth without engaging in the harmful environmental trade-offs that historically accompany growth. It's not economical, can no longer be justified. We need to cost the real economic implications of development in the context of our very precious and finite resources. Taking a proactive approach, we request that the Nambucca Valley Council take immediate action to ensure that further intensive horticulture developments can be established in the Nambucca Valley whilst the amendments agreed by the Council last meeting to the LEP 2010 and the DAs are ratified through the LEP gateway process. And we'd really appreciate to understand what our next steps could be. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions for the Speaker?
Madam Mayor, if I could I ask Dr. Simpson whether the focus is just blueberries or the increasing sort of diversification of this intensive farming technique?
It's a very good question, David. I believe that the scope of really my talk, because I am a member of NEN, but it is a more broader brush of sustainable economics in general. So I think the blueberry farming industry provides an example of where we can work with those individuals in the industry to create a more stronger adherence to a code of practice. When you read it, is actually quite solid, but we're not getting that adherence. And I would say the same is true for other intensive horticultural pursuits in the valley.
Thank you. Councillors? There are no questions with notice or questions for closed meeting, so we'll go to page 15, item 9.1.
Happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 39, item 9.2. We'll just take a moment and see if we can rectify some technical difficulties and get the TV screen available for the public gallery. Is it on? Thank you. That's now functioning. Okay, councillors, where were we? Item 10.2 on page 38.
9.2.
Sorry. 9.2 on 32. Do I have a mover? Moved Councillor Buchanan, seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Councillor Vance.
I'd like to nominate Martin Ballengarry.
Hmm?
He's pretty honoured, I think.
Are you happy to accept that nomination, Councillor Ballengarry?
If it's applicable.
Okay. The motion that we have on the floor is that we nominate a councillor for each position of member and deputy. Is there any other...
I'll nominate Councillor Jones for deputy. Member.
Councillor Jones, are you happy to accept that? So we have...
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, we're supposed to provide two for each, aren't we? Two for each position? Preferably. Is there anybody else who's prepared to nominate? Well, it looks like we only have the two. So I'll put the motion that we have on the floor. Those in favour? Against, it's carried. Would someone now move that council, or well, I'll move it, that council put forward Councillor Martin Ballengarry as the council delegate and Councillor Jones as the alternate or deputy.
I'll second that.
Seconded Councillor Vance. I'll just make sure the minute taker's got that. Councillor Vance was the seconder. Sorry, I think their reference is the deputy, that's what they call it. A member and a deputy. So it should be the council put forward.
Is that an amendment you're putting forward or...?
No, it's not an amendment.
It's a separate motion.
Separate motion.
Follow on, yeah.
We've just dealt with the original motion. The original motion was that simply that we nominate a councillor for each position. We've voted on agreeing to do that. This is now a motion to put forward. Do we have to say the National Parks and Wildlife Service?
What does it say?
As representatives on the Gungawonga.
No, Madam Mayor, the
normal... Well, the heading in the business paper in the minutes will show that it's the Gungawonga National Park Board of Management. Okay, so Council put forward Councillor Martin Ballengarry as the Council member delegate and Councillor Jones as the deputy member, full stop. Okay. And that was seconded by Councillor Vance.
Yeah.
Is there any discussion? Those in favour?
What is
against?
The role?
It's carried. No late reports from the General Manager, so we'll go to page 34, item 10.1. Moving that, Councillor Janvey? Moved, Councillor Janvey. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
I know we're recommending that we support the local government New South Wales submission, and I sort of find it, in my opinion, just slightly alarmist in the way it talks about rates. I mean, surely these... business districts or something, it's a bit like joining a tourism association if you're a local business or a business paying into a chamber of commerce. It's like a membership fee or something. It's not really...
So are you speaking against the motion or for the motion, Councillor Jenkins?
I probably would like to have an amendment to it or maybe foreshadow another motion because in thinking about this... And I know submissions are closing very soon.
We need to hear your amendment or your foreshadowed motion first before you speak to it.
Yeah, all right. So that the Director of Business, is it? Anyway, Mr. Saunders, our Manager of Business...
Manager of Business Development.
Manager of Business Development, that he present a report to Council on Barrowville... on the prospect of Barrowville being a town to consider in this space.
So is that in addition to the existing recommendations, or are you moving a whole new... is your amendment...
Country or whatever, I'll put it as a third dot point. But if it's...
Well, you can't put it as a third dot point. You've got to put the whole lot as... It's an amendment. It's already been moved and seconded. We have a motion on the floor.
Yep.
So your amendment...
would be to a third dot point.
Will be recommendation one and two as is.
Yep.
And a third dot point.
To add a third dot point to one and two.
What I mean is you can't add it to the motion that's on the floor. You're amending. The motion that's on the floor has already been moved and seconded, so you can't, only the mover and seconder.
Moving an amendment, yeah.
Yes.
That we add a third dot point to.
So your amendment is same as what was originally moved.
Calling for a report for
with
the
third dot point.
Yeah. Yeah. Calling for a report from the Director of Business Development.
So it's the council receive a report.
The Director of Corporate Services, sorry. As to the appropriateness of putting Barrowville forward as a town that may fit this bill. I don't know, that's not very good wording, but as a town, putting Barrowville forward as a CID.
Okay, the wording there should be that council receive a report.
Maybe to second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay, seconded Councillor Jones. I'll just double check that we've got the wording correct there. You're happy with that, Councillor Jenvey?
Yep, I am. And if I could just talk to it.
Okay, so it's been seconded.
Yep. In Barrowville, you've already got the tech centre doing tidy towns. You've got the Pioneer Halls doing bits and pieces of community development. You've got a lot of service providers. You've got Land Council. You've got Phoenix. It sort of lends itself quite well. And also FRRR have done quite a bit of work in this space with the service providers in looking at strategic planning and stuff. And I just think they could work really well as a Barrowville... as for Barrowville to be in this space. If you think about Nambucca, it's got the beach and Maxwell's got the motorway and the river. Barrowville is a town that actually needs tourism and events and street landscaping or something to bring people into town to raise some of those businesses. And the SID could look at, you know, the visitation or whatever it is to Barrowville as it is, but I just think it's the perfect place to probably do this because I think the infrastructure is in place for it to have success.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? I'll put the... Councillor Barrow.
Can I just add something? Maybe it's not all thing, but I take a thing, I don't know what's going on. In 20 years I've been in council. It's pretty long-winded and I've seen Barrowville go down and down. There is not enough things happening in Barrowville because there are a few things happening, just road pots and holes and all that stuff. But I think, I don't know whether we're turning into a ghost town or something, but I think we need to enhance Barrowville because that was a place that had three council offices. So I just can't understand what's going on. I've lived there most of my life, you know. I was one of the last baby born in the hospital before it shut. Yeah, so I don't want to die thinking that thing is going to not change there. I mean, it's changed dramatically in my lifetime, you know. I'm over the hills a bit now, so I'd like to, I don't know how we can enhance Barrowool, you know. We got a beautiful council stuff. See, we got all the timbers from up there, up the back of Barrow. Mostly all the cedars and blah, 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 all these red timber. So what are we doing? Are we turning it into a ghost town or not? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I'll just think outside the square. You know, so I got to live there, look at the poor people there, or I mean the poor people who says, what are we doing, councillor? What are we doing? I've been saying that for a long time. What are we doing? I don't know. I would like to mention it with, we've got a new look council here. Yeah, we've got new look. I think we should make something happen, surely. That's just my thought at the moment. Okay,
well, I guess we've got to find an alternative, Councillor Barangaroo, to the decline of all of those primary industries.
Yes, all that.
Like you, I can sort of remember when Barrowool was a very vibrant town.
I know.
It had a significant timber industry, a number of sawmills, the butter factory, a lot of dairy farms, a lot of banana plantations, bean and tomato growers, and that's essentially what provided funds and employment for people.
All gone.
So, and that's what Councillor Jenby's amendment is about, looking for other ways of not just socially but also economically in reinvigorating Barrowool.
Well,
so hopefully...
Hopefully something can happen before I go to the dreaming. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, up the front there.
Thanks, Councillor Barangaroo. Okay, if there's no further discussion, I'm going to put the amendment. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. The amendment becomes the motion. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 38, item 10.2. Moved, Councillor Buchanan.
Yeah.
Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 42, item 10.3. Councillors, I'll move the recommendation with an alteration to point one. And it will be, Council adopts the draft budget 2024-25. Sorry, the Council adopts the draft 2024-25 annual budget with the inclusion of $10,000 toward the Valla Beach Tennis Club lighting, and then just the rest of it. A change to anything else? Seconded, Councillor Vance, and I'm just being a bit conservative. Hopefully it won't cost $10,000, but I think by the time we get quotes and formalise it, we could rather, if we can find the $10,000 and allocate it, and we only need six, well and good, or eight. Is there any discussion?
Budget?
Sorry?
On the budget? On the
report, yes.
Yes.
I'd Jenby.
Just like to say to staff, there's lots of good things to see in this budget. Cash surpluses in consolidated funds, forecast, no union loans, improved interest revenue, and that nice trajectory of operating income versus operating expenditure into the future. It's kind of looking very good, so I just congratulate staff on their wise ways with what they do with money and allocation of resources.
I think we should also congratulate staff on actually getting this draft budget pulled together within the time frame, given some of the issues that they've faced and changes to requirements and software and reporting methods and so forth. There's an awful lot of work that goes into this, and as councillors are well aware, there are statutory deadlines. You know, it has to go on exhibition for 28 days. It's got to come back to a council meeting. So, yeah, I think they did exceptionally well to get it all pulled together in the time frame.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I might have a question to the General Manager about...
If it's a software question to staff, it's through the General Manager, through the Chair.
Question for the General Manager. We did get some new financial software. Has that been proven to be useful and adopted it well, or?
Thank you. Through you, Madam Mayor, it's currently being implemented. The plan was always that that's in place for the 24-25 financial year. So I think one of the pressures that the Mayor was alluding to with regard to software is we've been putting this budget together under the old system and at the same time trying to implement the new system so it's ready to go for the start of the new financial year. So it will certainly streamline things next year, but it's put a fair bit of pressure under the CFO's area in particular, this getting together this year. But thank you for your comments. We're very happy with how it's come up. Just if I may add, the Madam Mayor may have just amended the motion to get rid of that small surplus that we were proposing. But certainly I guess councillors can call it a balanced budget, so we're quite satisfied with that.
Well, I did have a look at the financial records for the Bala Beach Tennis Club, and given that it's a council-owned facility, and when I had a look at the funds they've raised over the years and the amount of volunteer work they've done, I think that we're well ahead on our $10,000. So, Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to speak in favour of the resolution, the budget, and I do want to make a highlight of what I think is really, really an important point. We've seen local governments all up and down the East Coast having difficulties with balancing their budgets. I'd really like to congratulate the staff on what I think was probably making some hard decisions. But what we've avoided, and I think this is crucial, is that there are other councils around us who are going for special rates variation, some of them quite hefty. And now I've been opposed to that and wouldn't have supported it. But because this has been a really frugal and strong budget, I think we hopefully we'll be able to avoid that in the future. And I think that's really, really important, because we do have a community that has different demographics within it. And some people would struggle very much if we had a substantial special rates variation. So I think the council can really be proud of that we are listening to the room, if you like. We're listening to what our... Because people have been talking to me, and one of their concerns is they don't want to do a Kempsey, is what they're saying. And fair enough, that's what people are saying, and I think that's important. I think we've heard it as councillors, and I think the council staff have taken that on board. So I just want to highlight that. A balanced budget, whilst there may be decisions in there that are tough, I think in balance, I think it's important. We're just at the moment, I think that's a really important thing. So I will be voting in favour, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. No other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 48, item 10.4.
I'll move.
Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 54, item 10.5. Moved Councillor Buchanan. Seconded Councillor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 57, item 10.6. Moved, Councillor Vance. Seconded, Councillor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Councillor Vance.
I ask the General Manager, with the surplus, is there a possibility of transferring that money to the local halls evenly?
Through you, Madam Mayor, just clarify, Councillor Vance, the surplus in the donations budget.
Yeah.
I'll have to take the first part of that on notice, because I'm not sure that the policy will allow us to just pay out donations without a request attached to it, is what I'm thinking, but I'll take that on notice and email all councillors if you like.
I think there's also a section of the Local Government Act that specifies that the donation has to be part of an adopted program. So I think there'd have to be like a formal resolution to allocate the funding. Our Chief Financial Officer is nodding.
That's correct, Madam Mayor. There'd have to be a report back to Council with those details, but I think the policy would exclude it anyway.
Yeah.
What Council, if they have a mind to do, could ask staff to do is to whatever's left in that program at the end of this financial year, roll over and add to next financial year's budget allocation.
So in other words, instead of that remainder going back into general fund, it will be added to and increase the funds available in the next financial years for donations?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm sure Mr. Sykes would love to do another report. Happy with that, Councillor Vance?
Council could make that resolution now rather than calling for a report.
Sorry. I'm happy to second Councillor Vance.
Hang on, we've got a motion on the floor.
I'll make an amendment.
Why don't you just foreshadow?
Yeah, okay.
It's foreshadow, and when you foreshadow, you have to actually say what the motion is going to be as well. So
I'll foreshadow the motion that the surplus be carried over to the next financial year.
Carried over and added to next year's allocation. Otherwise, if it's just carried over, it
carries over.
Doesn't actually add. Okay, so we still have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that? Councillor Jandy.
I just wanted to point out, if we haven't spent the donations budget, which people are entitled to apply for $500 on a one-off, then that keeps adding to a figure. I mean, it...
increase it. Eventually, when it becomes big enough.
Yeah.
But my understanding is that it's for the one financial year at the moment. The resolution, the way it's worded, doesn't mean this is going to happen every year. Councillors will recall there was discussion previously about how our current cap is $500. Many of the requests that come in, almost all of them, are for the maximum of $500. But if you read all the attached documentation, you'd see it was to assist with projects that are well beyond $500. So I recall there was discussion at the time as to whether in the future we might need to increase our cap, even if it's only by $100. Let's face it, $500 doesn't, for a community group or a community hall, doesn't buy much anymore.
I was just pointing out there sort of an anomaly of an underspend, and then presumably every community group can apply for that, and they haven't or don't. But anyway, it's only an anomaly.
Well, we got a significant number of applications. The problem was the cap was $500. That's what I'm saying. A lot of those projects, you know, the council gave a donation of $500, and in a lot of cases volunteers had to raise several thousand dollars, if not more, to make up the difference for a refrigerator, you know, for their hall kitchen or, you know, whatever it might be.
I'm not going to stand in the way of money for volunteers or whatever, but they still seem to manage, you know, life goes on. Anyway.
Well, I think given all of the bureaucracy, red tape that's now coming with volunteer organisations that council has no choice but to impose, between workplace health and safety legislation and record keeping, BAS statements, all of them, I think we should be doing everything we can to certainly to retain the volunteers we already have and to encourage others. It's like I said earlier about the tennis courts. If we had to pay, it's a council-owned facility, as are our halls that Councillor Vance was referring to. If we had to pay council staff ward wages to go out and do the things that those volunteers are currently doing free of charge, we wouldn't have half of those facilities. We wouldn't be able to fund them.
Yeah, but an extra $100 isn't going to solve the problem of red tape and what volunteers have to go through. They're, you know, or maintaining volunteers.
I wasn't suggesting it was going to get rid of the red tape, but I think anything that the council can do to let volunteers know how much we value their effort and their work, and as I said, I mean, ideally, I'd love to see us be able to increase the cap for donations to $1,000. Because at least if you're a volunteer, Councillor Janby, if you're sitting on the street selling raffle tickets all day in the hot sun to raise money to put towards a new freezer for your community hall, you know, knowing that the council is doing their best to try to increase the assistance they can give you might just make it a little more bearable. That's all I'm saying. And there's no need to call for a report because we have a foreshadowed motion. And apart from that, because it's, well, I'll speak to that when we deal with the motion. But is there any further discussion on the motion that's on the floor? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Councillor Vance, you're formally moving your foreshadowed motion.
I'll be the second that, Madam Mayor.
Seconded Councillor Jones.
If Councillor Vance is of the mind, could I change the next to following? And maybe have a second dot point along your lines.
Well, can I suggest that for the time being, it'd be worded that the current surplus be carried over and added to the following year's allocation, otherwise you're leaving that wide open. What I would recommend is that when we then do...
Review it.
When we get into... Again, councillors, I have to remind you that there's a council election in September, and after that council election we're required to review our policies, and that's when we'll be looking at that cap.
Correct, yeah. After the new council is elected.
So I'm not prepared to move something now and ask the staff to do that when it's likely to have to be revisited again in 5 months' time. So the money will be rolled over, will be added. Yep. The new council will have the opportunity then after the September election to review the policy, reconsider the cap and go from there. And the other benefit I see of this is at the moment, the way it's now worded, it's for 1 year.
May I offer a suggestion, Madam Mayor, to the council? As you know...
Donations budget surplus.
Yeah, the two things. I'd like to specifically articulate...
Donations budget.
Donations budget surplus, not council's entire surplus.
I thought we were going to buy every wall a new fridge and freezer.
And secondly, as you're aware, we do take late applications, so rather than have the current surplus, if we do have another application between now and June 30, won't be the current surplus.
All right, so the wording should be that any surplus...
On June 30.
From the donations budget.
In the donations program at 30 June 2024, be carried over and added to the following year's allocation. Covered all of the bases now?
I think so, Madam Mayor, yes.
Historically,
and Councillor Vance and Councillor Jones as mover and seconder, you're happy with the alteration to the wording?
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Madam Mayor, but historically I think we get pretty close to using up the budget most years anyway, if my memory, because I remember sitting around here having blown the budget on many occasions, or used the budget, sorry, not blown, used the budget.
Yeah, so you might recall that there was a question at a council meeting only recently about what the balance was, and I think Mr. Sykes emailed all councillors and gave us what I think 4 or 5 years of balances remaining at the end of the financial year, and there has been a surplus. Well, it was actually good because the indication of a surplus suggests that there's room to increase the cap without necessarily increasing the allocation. Whereas if you find your entire allocation is gone, then maybe you've got to increase the cap and increase the allocation. If there's no other discussion, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Okay, where are we? So, page 59, item 10.7. Moved to Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Ballengarry. Any discussion?
Yeah.
Those in favour? Against? It's carried. No late reports in this section, so page 60, item 11.1. Moved Councillor Janby, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Councillor Janby.
Through the General Manager, a question to the Manager of Environment and Development. Just on the truck depot, we often come up and there's issues with truck depots, and I see you've sought some clarifying legal advice. So are you able to sort of talk to that? There's 32 submissions in from the community.
Yes, through the General Manager, Councillor Genvey, the legal advice, the area of contentions, the legal access to the land, Council sought legal advice, as did the developer, about basically comes down to a right of act. There's a right of access registered on the land and a right of carriageway, two separate rights of access. And the legal advice came back that the development does have legal right over that registered right of carriageway. So the intention is to determine the development application under delegated authority based on that legal advice.
It wasn't about being a garage or a home, something on rural land or a business or all those other issues that come up sometimes around truck depots and their definition.
Yeah, no, through the General Manager, it was a truck depot is permissible in the RU1 zone.
Thank you.
If there's no other discussion, those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 63, item 11.2. Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 64, item 11.3. Moved Councillor Jones. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 65, item 12.1.
Moved
Councillor Janby, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. That's it for open meeting. Could I have a motion to go to closed meeting? Moved Councillor Buchanan, seconded Councillor Ballengarry. No public written or verbal representations.
No, Madam Mayor, they have not.
Those in favour? Against, it's carried. We'll now close the meeting to the public. We have two items. Councillors, we're now back in open meeting and the recording is back on. So I will ask the General Manager to read the resolutions made in closed.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 13.1, matters regarding realised or potential losses, resolved. Moved Buchanan, seconded Councillor Jenvey. That Council note the information concerning incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation. And item 13.2, the General Manager's Performance Agreement. Moved Councillor Hoban, seconded Councillor Vance. Resolved that Council endorses the priorities outlined in the report for the General Manager and included in the attached performance agreement for 2024. 2. Adopts the attached performance agreement for the period 15 December 23 to 14 December 2024. And 3. Notes the file number change on the report to SF3500.
Thank you, and there being no further business, I'll thank everyone for their attendance and their courtesy and declare the meeting closed. Thank you.